This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Off Beat Path, broadcasting live from the swamp down here in Central Florida. I'm your host, Steve Elkins. Today's date is October 7th, 2018, another week gone by. Thank God. Well, my rants are ready to be released, ready to hear from you, also your views. This is an open format today, always an open format. I want to hear what you guys are thinking. And 1-800-313-9443. My email, offthebeatenpathsteve@gmail.com. The chat room, offthebeatenpath.chattango.com. I check in there once in a while to see what's going on. Whew, take a deep breath here. It's been a long week. It's been a long emotional week. I am so glad it's over, but guess what? Next week is the crying and the whining, and you're going to hear a lot of that. Well, let's get right down to it. They had the vote, the Brett Kavanaugh vote for Supreme Court nominee to be confirmed. It turned out to be, what, 50 to 48. I actually watched it on C-SPAN. It was supposed to be at 3:30. Of course, it was delayed and delayed. Chuck Schumer had to get out there. Chris Coons had to get out there and be the first speakers to condemn the whole process and point fingers at the FBI, that this really wasn't a thorough investigation. It was delayed, and witnesses, potential, I love the word, potential witnesses were never heard from. Well, they had their time. They had their chance to make their case, which they had no case. We knew it was a witch hunt from the very beginning. And the only one really I was really impressed with last week was the outspokenness of South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham. Amazing. I would like to see more Republicans, but nice to see a Democrat stand up and voice those same words, that, you know, the same feeling, the message that this was a witch hunt. And actually, I'm rather amazed that Chuck Schumer had the audacity, the guts, the courage to stand up and speak at all after Lindsey Graham outed him with his message, basically, we are going to derail this president's nominee any way we can. Pretty amazing. Of course, we never heard Schumer say, I didn't say that. There evidently were enough witnesses to the comment that he couldn't come back and say, I never made those comments. Well, yeah, he did. I'm glad it's over. Like I said, it's not over yet. Next week's going to be an interesting week. Susan Collins stood up, she was actually the second speaker, I believe the second speaker, after the whiner crybaby Chuck Schumer. And she gave a 45-minute speech, which was rather good, a little bit interesting, when she referred to some of the words that Donald Trump had spoken about the testimony from Christine Blasey or Blasey Ford. Being compelling, compelling, compelling. Compelling means convincing, an argument, maybe has some credibility here. which I have to agree with Art Off the Grid. I'm not going to call her doctor. I think that gives her authority, and she doesn't deserve that. Like I said, this whole thing to me was a witch hunt. You know, actually, after everything we just kind of found out, the pieces of the puzzle all coming together for us about who Christine Blasey Ford was, her father's involvement and continuous involvement in the CIA, and how she is also a CIA recruiter for the on the college level. It's kind of amazing how this all kind of comes together, and that those who orchestrated this whole agenda, this witch hunt, didn't think we would ever figure any of this out. It's kind of amazing. They must think we're really stupid, that we wouldn't dig a little deeper and find out what is really the truth in the situation here. So you wait 36 years, you have no recollection of this, you have no recollection of that, you can't remember how you got the party, you can't remember how you got back to the home after the party. You remember having one beer, and you remember one man on top of you, and it was this man right here that wants to become the Supreme Court justice. There never was a case, which had me thinking today. I was talking to an old timer. I'm going to say this guy was probably, he's retired. I'd say he's closer to 70. And I told him, I said that he was glad I was all over. And he thought Kavanaugh is a great man. He'll do a great job. But when I was listening to Susan Collins talking about how what a great candidate Brett Kavanaugh was that I did listen and do a little homework to see what Brett Kavanaugh stood for, his past, his voting record. Where we should have been focused on talking about the man, his past voting record, we didn't discuss that. We decided to focus in on a sex crime, witch hunt, accuser one, accuser two, accuser three. Accuser three took the cake. That was the sex dungeon and the sex parties, which she continued to attend 9 or 10 after the supposed attacks. I mean, no credibility whatsoever, but here we are wasting time on a fictitious witch hunt of something that happened 36 years ago, and it's just all timed perfectly to release this right before a possible vote for a confirmation to the Supreme Court. Very, very, very well crafted to wait so long, and her little secret room to escape in case she ever had a panic attack and from this traumatic event, which I didn't see. A traumatic event. I didn't see a woman who was broken up. I didn't see a woman who was, I mean, they painted her that way very well, by the way. The drab clothing, the dark black clothing, like she was attending a funeral. Those big ugly glasses make her kind of look like an innocent virginous librarian, if that's actually true, the librarians being virgins back in those days. But they painted her the picture of a victim, her hair hanging down. You know, they can't make her look attractive. They have to make her look like a victim, and they did a pretty good job at that, I got to admit, except I see those things. Actually, my wife picked up on the physical parts, the beauty part. She picked up on that real fast. She said, they really painted her like a victim, didn't they? I said, yeah, you're right. Not just the clothing, but the hairstyle and the glasses. And, of course, you know, the body language. We got to recognize the body language. Body language will tell us a lot of things that we can't always – you know, pick up, you pick up on the verbal if they're stupid enough to say it. You know, the Freudian slip, the accidental, I didn't mean to say that, you misquoted me. But the body language behind the people behind Christine Blasey Ford, and the attaboy, the pat on the back after her finishing the testimony, as great job. I think you did a compelling job of convincing these people that this man here is a sexual predator. 36 years ago. Amazing. Amazing. The high five. The pat on the back is the high five. It really is. It just doesn't go high enough. It just, boom, the high five. Pat on the back. So we listened to Senator Susan Collins go on for 45 minutes. It's a long 45 minutes. But the compelling, she threw the word compelling in there. Compelling. And let me get the words right here, because I had them. She said, presumed innocence, sincere, the painful testimony, and compelling. Well, I don't buy any of that at all. I don't think you do either. it's over. But we should have been focusing on more of who is this man. Now, if you understand marketing or advertising, you'll notice that if you watch your pharmaceuticals and you watch anything that they're advertising, trying to sell you or market, there's a difference between marketing and advertising. Marketing is they actually have a target group, a focus group. They want to sell you something. Advertising is just generalized for everybody. But the targeting, the marketing, in that we didn't see the big picture here. We were focused on a diversion of Brett Kavanaugh. Now, the question I had with this old guy here, I was talking to him about this. He didn't know about the past of Brett Kavanaugh. He didn't know about being part of the George Bush administration. He didn't understand anything of that. He didn't know about the Patriot Act. He didn't know about the torture memos. And he didn't know about the spying program, the mass surveillance programs are all basically under George W. Bush and got the acknowledgement and okay from Brett Kavanaugh. He didn't know any of this, which his eyes started to open when I talked about this. I said, we were focused on a sex scandal and not focused on the past of this man. Is he the right man? I think we could have done better. We could have done a lot better. I think there are better candidates out there. I don't think there was a number two in line from Donald Trump. Unfortunately, there should have been a number two to slide in and get that going. But I'm not sure that this is the right man. What I did not hear Susan Collins say one time in the 45 minutes is a man who will rule from the bench, the highest court, constitutionally. Constitutionally. And that's exactly what we need, a constitutional thinking man on the bench. A man who will live up and abide by the U.S. Constitution and our Bill of Rights. That's what I wanted to hear. I did not hear that at all in 45 minutes. I heard everything but that. Sam, I do believe in the numbers threes. Like I said, advertising, they'll throw the numbers at you, 1, 2, 3. Here's the telephone number again. Here's the product telephone number. That's how marketing and advertising goes, mainly marketing when they're trying to sell you an idea, sell you something. And I do believe in the rule of three on this, on the political aspect of this, and that we heard it twice through the week. I heard John Stadmiller play it. Michael Rivera, I think, played it. And so maybe on the third time, it will sink in on who is Brett Kavanaugh. Ben Swan tells us, who is Brett Kavanaugh? Go ahead and play that, Sam.
Well, the circus that has surrounded the Brett Kavanaugh nomination to the U.S. Supreme Court has been drowned out by 36-year-old uncorroborated accusations of sexual assault. Now, do you support Kavanaugh's nomination? If so, you likely do because you know almost nothing about his record, but you feel for him personally. Do you oppose Kavanaugh? If you do, it's likely for the very same reason. But today, we're going to tell you why, for constitutional reasons, Brett Kavanaugh should likely not be a Supreme Court justice. Is Brett Kavanaugh actually an enemy of the Fourth Amendment? Let's give it a reality check.
Reality Check with Ben Swan, powered by Smart Cash.
Well, all of the noise around the Brett Kavanaugh nomination to the Supreme Court has really accomplished only one thing. It has prevented any real concerns over Kavanaugh's history and view of the Constitution. Today, three reasons why Kavanaugh should likely not be on the U.S. Supreme Court. Number one, the Patriot Act. You may or may not know that during the time of the September 11th terror attacks, Brett Kavanaugh was an associate White House counsel for then-President George W. Bush. Now, he was instrumental in helping to draft and create one of the most unconstitutional laws ever passed in this country. We're talking about the Patriot Act. According to the Electronic Privacy Information Center, the Supreme Court justice nominee, in emails at that time, referred to the Patriot Act as, quote, measured, careful, responsible, and a constitutional approach. He has been definitively credited with the line, quote, the new law will update laws authorizing government surveillance, which demonstrates one very important thing, that the Fourth and Fifth Amendment protections of due process and protections against warrantless searches and government surveillance is something that Kavanaugh believes could be updated in the Constitution. As the Foundation for Economic Freedom points out, quote, anyone who knows anything about the Patriot Act knows that constitutional and careful are by no means accurate descriptions. The Patriot Act obliterated the Fourth and Fifth Amendment rights to privacy and due process by giving the federal government sweeping new powers to conduct surveillance on the American people, end quote. Number two, his role in the U.S. torture memos and enemy combatants issue. Now, while in the Bush White House, Kavanaugh was involved in two very important discussions, the first of which surrounded the use of torture by the administration. In 2004, a series of memos, which were originally composed while Kavanaugh served the Bush administration, well, those were released. And in short, these memos told a story of members of the Bush administration attempting to broadly expand the legal definition of torture to justify waterboarding and sleep deprivation as being permissible. Those memos also detailed the Bush administration's attempt to seek the authority to label anyone of their choosing, anyone, as an enemy combatant, thus subjecting them to the possibility of indefinite detention in facilities like Guantanamo Bay. While undergoing his nomination to the Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit in 2006, Kavanaugh testified that he knew nothing about these memos or the attempt to frame a legal argument for indefinite detention, saying this, quote, I think with respect to the legal justifications or the policies relating to the treatment of detainees, I was not aware of any issues on that or the legal memos that subsequently came out. This was not part of my docket, either in the counsel's office or as staff secretary, end quote. But in 2007, the Washington Post reported that in 2002, there was in fact a contentious meeting in the White House over whether the Supreme Court would allow the enemy combatant to be used for any American the government deemed an enemy, and that now Judge Kavanaugh was not only present at this meeting, but was specifically summoned to weigh in on the matter since he himself was a former clerk for the swing vote judge, Justice Anthony Kennedy. At the meeting, he reportedly voiced his concerns that Justice Kennedy and other swing voters on the Supreme Court would never side with the administration's controversial decision to label any person, any American citizen, an enemy combatant. Number three, Kavanaugh apparently doesn't believe in privacy. Now, no doubt you remember when Edward Snowden, the former NSA contractor, revealed this massive spying program that had been underway by the federal government for years, spying on and gathering information on virtually every American citizen. Well, during that time, Judge Kavanaugh, he was and he still is on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit. It's the second most powerful court in the nation. But it was in this position that Kavanaugh sided with government mass surveillance, stating that, quote, the government's metadata collection program is entirely consistent with the Fourth Amendment. He also later stated that, quote, critical national security need outweighs the impact on privacy occasioned by this program, end quote. See, Judge Kavanaugh, simply put, believes that you do not have an inherent right to privacy, something that a true constitutionalist would believe in, because privacy and the right to be free from constant surveillance is the very foundation of our Constitution. Judge Andrew Napolitano gave a lecture recently explaining how Kavanaugh holds the Fourth Amendment in such low regard. Take a look.
It's essential American right in the Fourth, the right to be left alone, which of course today we call privacy. The Fourth is the most unique one because it says the people, doesn't say the citizens, it says the people shall not be interfered with in their persons, houses, papers, and effects. Persons, houses, papers, and effects, except by a warrant signed by a judge based on probable cause. Probable cause means probable cause of crime. It doesn't mean probable cause that you're talking to a book agent in Florence, a real case in which the NSA was listening to a conversation in Italian. They thought they were hearing a terrorist. They were just hearing a guy in New York trying to buy a book from the book agent in Florence. When the case came to court, the judge said, well, there's no prosecution here. They didn't come after you for anything you said. Therefore, there's no violation of the Fourth Amendment. Who wrote that opinion? See if you've heard of this guy. About which more later.
So what you need to know is that Judge Brett Kavanaugh's nomination has, again, turned into a circus. Brett Kavanaugh, make no mistake, is not a constitutionalist. The Fourth Amendment to the Constitution is one of the most critically important in order to maintain a free republic. Brett Kavanaugh, throughout his career, has actually worked to destroy the freedoms that the Fourth Amendment protects. And that is the reason Kavanaugh should be resisted. But part of the reason that these issues are not at the forefront of this argument, because the politicians who oppose him and those who support him, virtually all of them, also hold the Fourth Amendment in contempt. They also, all of them, don't believe that you have a right to privacy, or freedom from unlawful search, or freedom from government spying. See, Brett Kavanaugh's appointment to the U.S. Supreme Court, if it happens, it's not a disregard of women, as the media will tell you. It's a disregard of freedom. That's Reality Check. Let's talk about that right now on social media.
We'll be right back. This is Off the Beaten Path. Steve Elkins at the mic here.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to libertystickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's libertystickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Thank you.
Little Larry Coryell bumping on Sunset to bring us back into the conversation. Talking about the Brett Kavanaugh confirmation, this whole circus witch hunt. Like I said, we focused on one thing. We focused on the sex witch hunt here and didn't focus on the man in his past. And as Ben Swan said, he had quite a past. He was not a constitutionalist. He's not the right man. Who is the right man? I don't have an answer to that. I kind of wondered why, if I'm not sure why he wouldn't be qualified, or if there's something else that says he can't be, but why Judge Napolitano wouldn't have been a good choice. Seems to be a very sound man with his viewpoints, conservative. He appears to be a constitutionalist, as he cites the Constitution quite often when he talks about the violations against the Constitution. But I don't know. Get back to this conversation I had with this gentleman at a flea market here. I like to talk to people. I hand out cards and try to get people involved in the network here and calling in and listening. And I'm talking to him, and he, like I said, he's close to 70, I'd say. He's a vendor. And we're talking. He goes, "Hey, what's going on? What are you going to talk about today?" And I said, "We're going to talk about Brett Kavanaugh, the confirmation hearings, the witch hunt." And he said, "I'm glad it's over." I said, "Yeah, me too. I am glad it's over." But I said, we focused on the wrong things, and his eyes just looked at me like, "I'm curious, I'm not sure what you're talking about." And I talked about the past of Brett Kavanaugh. Talked about these things here, the torture memos, the Patriot Act, how he was a part of all this, the spying programs, this mass surveillance, the Fourth Amendment violations, the attacks on our freedoms, and that he was all for that. And I said, what happened in Gitmo, the torture memos? And he said to me, and I was kind of surprised to hear this. He's a veteran. I'm really surprised to hear this from people, that he was okay with what happened over there in Gitmo. He's okay with that. And I looked at him, are you serious? Torture is never okay. You do understand that torture will never give you what you're looking for. You're going to get people to confess to anything to stop the torture. And when I said that, his eyes opened up like, "Hey, I guess it would." I said, "I would confess to the JFK assassination if you tortured me long enough, and you would too." It made some sense. I don't know why we have to keep going over these things to tell people that torture does not work. It's inhumane. It's unconstitutional. But again, you get judges like Brett Kavanaugh here who would say, "Well, it's okay. We need to do these things because we're fighting terrorism." So you claim that other people terrorists torture, and so you do the same. So are we supposed to be a little bit better than them if this is true? But I'm not sure. It sunk into him, but he did walk away like, yeah, but then he had something else to do. I don't know if he was just making an excuse he wanted to get out of the conversation, or maybe I actually made some sense and he's now going to think about that. I'll find out next week when I see him again if that made any sense to him. But we do need a constitutionalist on the bench, somebody who's going to protect our Constitution. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. So I watched the confirmation, the vote, the yays, the nays. And like I said, it turned out to be, 50 to 48 yays? 50 yays, 48 nays. And I noticed the heckler that wouldn't go away and the heckler they would not remove. It was the same person. I have no idea who it was. They never showed the heckler in the galley. But it was the same voice. I recognized the same voice, and I said, when are they going to remove this person? I don't know what's going on here. The pussyfooting around of, we have rules, we have regulations, with things we have to do in order. We need calmness. We need to be heard. We need to hear from others on the vote. And then you have this continuous heckler who stops and starts three times and never is escorted out. We have no idea who she is. I'm sure she's probably a paid troll from George Soros, but we don't know who she is. But the bottom line is, show some backbone. We'll be right back. This is Off the Beaten Path.
are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Back. Another jazz show this week here, just to relax. Nice stuff, Acoustic Alchemy. So we're talking about this confirmation, of course, the vote, and the heckler, the three-time heckler, they would not remove. I have no clue of why they would not remove this person who was disrupting the vote or trying their best to disrupt the vote. Wouldn't do it. This pussyfooting around of we don't want to upset anybody and everything. You know, I started thinking to myself, who are the Me Toos anyway? Who are these people? Now, we're told, at least they tell us, that they're huge. They're millions and millions, and they're standing up for women's rights. Well, I stand for women's rights. I love women. I stand up for them. I believe in equality for everyone. I don't believe in special privilege, but I believe in equality for everyone. I think we're all on the same page on that. But who are these Me Toos? Well, I've got a good friend in Tallahassee. I love her. She's a good person, but I'm willing to bet she's probably a Me Too. I've got to find out what she thought about this whole Kavanaugh witch hunt thing. I think she's going to say he shouldn't be there based on the sex thing 36 years ago. I'm pretty sure she's going to go that direction, unfortunately, and not look at there was no evidence. So that's very scary to think about. If this had been successful, this whole accusations, allegations, and rumor had been successful to take down a person, wow, can you imagine? We would all be in serious trouble, especially men of power. Always be taken down by an accusation, allegation. You have to step down. It would be actual, the new evidence, the new proof. We'd be in trouble. But I wondered who these people were, the Me Toos, and I saw the protests and the signs, and they were so one-sided. It's like a religion with some of these people. They're not reality-based at all. And I would throw out to one of those Me Toos, if I ever went face-to-face, and I would say, let me reverse the role on this a little bit. Let's reverse this. Let's say this was your brother, and he was being accused of doing a sexual attack on a woman. This is your brother or your father. Would you accept an accusation, an allegation, or a rumor to send your father or your brother away for a long time? Would you accept that? No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't. You would step in and say, wait a minute here. Hold on here. Even Chuck Schumer, if Chuck Schumer was attacked on something, he would come back and say, hey, wait a minute here. You've got no evidence. You've got accusations, allegations, and rumors. You don't have proof. In a court of law, we must have proof. Well, I saw these women with the signs standing up and chanting, and they're all in unison, and they just have bleeding heart liberal written all over them, and they're not reality-based. You can't sink it into their heads. They have a mission, and liberalism is a religion to them, and they must win. And if they don't win, they get very angry and nasty. And now Susan Collins, I would say she probably needs to hire some more security. I would be very worried if I were her. None of that was her vote, but she spoke up in defense of Brett Kavanaugh and defended him. And she should be a little worried. So when I saw this group of women with the billboards and the little posters holding up on the chants, I watched the movie Jerry Maguire last week. It's been on a lot lately. You know, whenever you see movies that are on too frequently, you start to say, who died? Tom Cruise die? They always seem to play the movies over and over again when somebody dies to show a little tribute to them. That's happened a couple weeks ago with Clint Eastwood. I thought, well, Clint must have died, right? No, they just want to play a lot of Clint Eastwood movies. So I saw Jerry Maguire, and I watched the movie, and I noticed that they had this women's group that were meeting, and they were all hating men, bashing men. We hate men. They're the enemy. And, of course, Renee Zellweger came out and says, well, I love the enemy. I love the enemy. We're not the enemy. We're not the enemy. We really aren't. But it was interesting that this group was very similar to the groups we saw protesting Brett Kavanaugh, but their numbers aren't so large. They're not as big as they would like us to believe. They really are not. They do not represent mainstream America. They don't represent the population of 350 million people in America, something like that. They don't represent a big, big portion of America. They really do not. But they'll want you to believe that they do. So I started thinking, well, these are the same people, these Me Toos are the same people that, regardless of evidence, would stand behind, let's say, O.J. Simpson. Yeah. Would stand behind Michael Jackson in his pedophilia case. Would stand behind Woody Allen when he was having an affair with his adopted daughter and then later marrying her. These are the people that are not in the real world. I can't explain why they are the way they are. What happened to them? Are they all abused? Or what happened? Is it the vaccine issue? I don't know. But they don't. You can't really talk to these people. Like I said, my friend in Tallahassee, we were roommates. We shared a house together, no relationship other than good friends at the time. And we'd had our differences in talking politics back then. That was in the 90s. And we learned to have respect for each other's opinions, but we also knew there was certain territory we better never go into because I'm going to debate my issues and I'm going to show you facts. And she can't do the same. She's going to get emotional, and she's going to tell you on gut feelings and beliefs, and that really doesn't sit well with me because I'm a kind of an evidence kind of guy. You show me the proof where I'm wrong, and I'll listen to you. I really will. I love when people will take me on something and say, hey, you're wrong. Let me show you where you're wrong. I love it. I love it. I learn something new. I come away a better man. And I share that with others. I'm not one of those people that goes licks his wounds. Oh, my God, I just got defeated. I don't look at it that way. There's so much on the line that's so important about what we talk about here in RBN, and we really should be focused on that. And this gut feeling and emotions, and you don't have an argument if it's an emotion-based argument. You don't have an argument at all. And so I'll be interested when I talk to her in Tallahassee what she thought about it. I'm pretty sure she's going to go in the direction of he shouldn't have been there. He was a sexual predator and this and that. And I'll bring up there was no evidence. You know, I do believe in the rule of law and I do believe in due process. But and it applies to both genders. It's not just the man. It applies to both. We need to remember that. We're going to go to the phones real quick here. I've got Dan in British Columbia. You're on, Dan.
Oh, hey there. Yeah. This whole thing with Kavanaugh, it's almost like we're being played. A lot of these women out there, if they thought about it for a minute and thought, you know, if the same thing happened to your brother or your father, you know, how would you feel about it, right?
Exactly.
So I think, you know, if there's no police report on something, especially 37 years ago, you shouldn't be, you can't claim it. You can't, it doesn't exist. It's a he said, she said thing. And it's just ridiculous because, I mean, at least if she had gone to her mother or her best friend and they were able to corroborate it, then I would say, yeah, you know, there's something there. But, you know, you get her and her little fake glasses and, there's a really great video that you got to see about the body language of her, and it's got about 2 million views. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This she's a double PhD, but she's acting like this little 12-year-old girl, like she's playing us, right?
Right.
It's this little mind game she's playing. Now, having said that, the whole thing with Kavanaugh to begin with, I'm just going to wonder, like, who suggested this guy to Trump? Because I think Trump's too busy to start picking the right people. He should have picked what's the guy on Fox News? The judge on Fox News,
Napolitano. Yeah, no,
he would have been a great. Yeah, and he deserves it. And this guy, he talks about FBI fake staged attacks all the time.
Sure.
This guy knows what's going on. So that piece that he did on Kavanaugh was unbelievable. I mean, that really goes to show we are being played. Mm-hmm. I look at Trump's other picks, Kay Bailey Hutchison for NATO ambassador, threatening to do a first strike on Russia. This was last month or this month. Nikki Haley, that goes without saying. Jeff Sessions, Jared Kushner, James Mattis,
Gina Haspel.
It just doesn't end. It's like,
no,
you know, we everyone voted for Trump. He won, you know. We need to accept that. And he's definitely not Hillary Clinton, because I think we would have been in full scale war right now with either Russia or, you know, Iran or someone else. And, actually, one of the reasons I called to kind of tie this into that Trump at War documentary, I'll just give you a quick take on what I think about that.
Go ahead.
It's almost like an Alex Jones production. It's, you know, China bad, Israel good, no mention of false flag terror from Israel. The reason we're in all these wars is because of Israel. Right. And, you know, it's just, there's a lot of good points about this, you know, Antifa and, the division of the left and right. You never saw this with the Bush administration. And Bush was 10 times worse than Trump could ever be, if you ask me. I mean, he was drone striking, bombing Muslims. He wasn't banning them from coming into the country. He was killing millions of them. So, but you never saw this outcry from Antifa never even existed. So,
right.
I think it's you got your George Soros's versus Sheldon Adelson. I think that's what this war is all about.
Mm-hmm. You know, Dan, I want to say that I watched the movie and I sent you the clip over there. Western Journal. It's TrumpAtWar.com. If you go to Western Journal, type it in that way, you'll find it. It's an hour and 16 minutes long. I watched it. John watched it. I think Rivera watched it. And I was bothered by the very beginning of it. Don Lemon was basically, it's interesting how he was twisting everything at the beginning of that, saying that, who are you? I was offended by that. Who are you? And then he points to the people that are rioting, that are violent and tearing things up, which is Antifa, which is not us. We're the Republicans. We don't do these things. This is not us. We disagree to disagree, but we don't take violence. We don't take the law into our own hands. And that is the other side, which he did not portray that. He actually twisted that around and said that we, basically, we are the ones that are causing the problem. We are the ones that are using violence to get our agendas passed, and very, very much misspoken in there, because there's no truth to that whatsoever. I was bothered by the military-industrial complex of that movie, saying basically we're on the same path, we're going to continue being on the same path, and we are not getting off this endless war. We're going to stay on the path of war. The PNAC document, the Project for a New American Century, exists. We are going to fulfill the document and continue on. We're in Syria. We're going to take over Syria. Hopefully, sooner or later, we're going to knock out Bashar al-Assad. We're going to end that one. We're going to own that. And then we move on to taking care of business for Israel by taking out Iran. They are beating those war drums right now, Dan. As we speak, they are beating those war drums against Iran. They're trying very hard. And sanctions. It's amazing how much turmoil there is in the Middle East. And for a man, a president that I believed in, that spoke in his campaign promises that bringing world peace and bringing commerce and leaders together and making friends and we working together. But I guess he's not convinced himself that we have to be a war-based economy, or at least the fear of war-based economy, in order to survive economically. And I think he's actually on that train of thinking that we must be – the only way we can stay afloat is either fear or an actual war, or conventional war, or maybe they use a cyber war. But there's got to be some threat there in order to keep the economy boosted up. I'm not buying any of this 3.7 unemployment rate that came just a couple of days ago. I don't buy any of this. I'm seeing businesses going out all over the place here. I just sent John an article of a big major mattress company that says we're closing our stores. 700 stores across the country, we're closing these stores. Well, that's not the sign of a robust, strong economy. When you start seeing stores close, malls closing up, this is serious stuff, and we're not being told the truth. And I think the majority of people are actually not believing the 3.7%. They don't buy this. But the point is, going back to the movie, I was angry at the beginning. It had a nice ending. I got to say that the movie had a nice ending. I don't want to blow it for anybody, so please go see it, TrumpAtWar.com. It's the at sign. And then you can call me back. We'll be on again tomorrow with John Stadtmiller on his show. But overall, I thought it was pretty honest. I just didn't care for Don Lemon. Don Lemon is a hack journalist. He is you talk about a guy with agenda. Whew, man, major agenda.
Yeah, they all have script writers. I mean, you know, he's reading off a teleprompter. And, yeah. You know, it reminds me of Kennedy. Like, Kennedy was a great president, and he was doing a lot of things. He wanted to end all these wars. He kind of reminds me of Trump when he was going against Nixon in the in the debates. But he was surrounded by all these traitors, you know. Right. And they were doing things behind his back, like the Bay of Pigs and so forth. And that kind of, it seems like that's what's happening with Trump. You know, you got Jared Kushner is not exactly, you know, this whole thing with Israel and the Jerusalem embassy. I mean, we're just being sold down the river here.
Right.
Meddling in the Middle East, we should be out of the Middle East, just like a lot of these Trump tweets that were saying, hey, like, let's stop all these endless wars. We're going broke. I mean,
No, I agree. And handing over Jerusalem to Israel was a huge mistake. Huge mistake.
Yeah. They want to build that third temple, and it's just going to be a mess. It's going to get worse before it gets better. So.
Yeah, I agree. Anything else, Dan? Anything else?
Just a quick note on China. You know, at least, you know, Hillary Clinton and Chinagate and Bill Clinton giving China the most favored nation status, that was a big mistake. I think Trump's doing the opposite of that. And I do think from this Trump at War documentary that one thing that China is a lot scarier than we think. They do think about global power, and the fact that they're communist still is quite scary. So I thought I'd add that. That's one thing about this documentary that is quite good, actually.
Yeah.
So I'll leave you with that.
I appreciate it, Dan. Thank you very much for your call. Going to go back to the phones here. We got Kevin in West Virginia. Kevin, you're on.
Hey, Mr. Elkins. I think we've been had. I think we've been okey-doked with Kavanaugh. And what I mean by this is we're too busy looking at the rape allegations and all this crap and actually not understanding who we have put on the Supreme Court now.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I mean, totally this agree. Guy, you know, with the Patriot Act or something, authorship with the Patriot Act, his stance on the Fourth Amendment, his possible involvement with the cover-up of Vince Foster, and we just push this guy through just because of rape allegations? Yeah. Man, what happens whenever Ginsburg or Sotomayor, whatever her name is, I can't pronounce her name.
Right.
Yeah, so what happens when they step down? Are we going to get fed the same type of stuff? I mean, I feel like we've been psyoped.
Well, I tell you what, we got Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I think Trump possibly may do one more appointment before his first term is up. It's possible. She's got cancer. She doesn't look well. He may get another chance at this. And guess what, Kevin? We're going to go through this whole charade once again if it's a male. It's funny. He's actually going to have to find a female this time. Or we're going to go through this whole charade of a sex scandal all over again. You watch.
You know, and here's one of the two big questions I have, major questions. Okay. Why is it always sex when you find corruption, no matter if it's pedophilia or consensual adults? Why is that the satanic glue that holds the corruption together? I just can't put my finger on it.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you mentioned that because my wife gave me an article today. I might get to paraphrase a little bit. The author is Ronald G. Schaefer, S-H-A-F-E-R, came from a special to the Washington Post. The article is called President Harding Faced Sex Scandals During the 1920s. Very, very interesting. So this whole sex thing has been used as a tool, as a weapon for a long, long time. I expect this to be a pattern here, Kevin. This is not over by far. They did make some grounds, these deranged people, the Me Toos, the women's rights groups, just women's rights, not fair, equal rights to everyone. They're getting probably more membership, yes, of people that feel the same way they do, have the same thinking. We need to squash this at the very beginning, Kevin, right at the very beginning. Never let this get out of hand. You don't take care of a cockroach problem when your house is infested with cockroaches. When you see the first cockroach, you start doing what you need to get rid of the cockroaches. This thing went too far. This woman had her day. She shouldn't have had her day because once the FBI first took the accusation, when she came forward, she should have looked at everything and said, okay, you don't remember this. You can't remember this. You don't know this. You don't know this, this. So once their little checklist comes off, they go, well, we have nothing. So therefore, we can't go further ahead with this. And that's where it should have stopped right there. Why did it get beyond this is beyond my comprehension. Why did they allow this? This is bringing back in again what we've been talking about here is that the FBI is probably part of the CIA, definitely part of the deep state working against the president of the United States. So they allowed this thing to get fueled. They fueled this thing, which should have never got attention from the very beginning. This should have never been heard. What should have been heard and discussed was his record, his past voting record of who is Brett Kavanaugh. So this conversation I had with this older gentleman, now just put your conspiracy cap on your tinfoil hat on here and think about this. What is the possibility? What is the possibility that this whole thing was contrived, was a diversion, and maybe even Kavanaugh knew about it and he played the part really well? To be, wait a minute here, I didn't do this, I didn't do this. Maybe it was all a diversion away from his past record in order to get him in, knowing that This will not stick in a court of law. This won't stick at all. None of this, because there's no evidence, first of all. There's nothing to prosecute. Outside of this whole testimony thing, there would be nothing to prosecute if he was not trying for a position on the Supreme Court. So could this have been, we've all been duped, thinking maybe this was a diversion away from his past record?
Maybe it was. I really do think so, because the other question that I had was, why drag him through the mud and put her through it, too? Well, right. She's a mind control person. Maybe mm-hmm. she wouldn't remember. Maybe she would remember. Who knows?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you know, she wrote books, several books, and she wrote something about a paper about how to beat a lie detector test, a polygraph, which is really not that hard. It really is not hard to beat a polygraph. I took one once a long time ago dealing with money. I had to take one, and I didn't lie. I was honest. I got the job. But if you these people who are psychopaths can convince themselves that what they've done is justified and okay, they can beat it, because their temperature doesn't go up. They don't get clammy skin. Their heart rate doesn't go up. There's certain things we look for in lying on a polygraph test, and a psychopath doesn't change those things. They can tell you a bold-faced lie and get a clean bill, basically, on the polygraph. So, you know, beating a polygraph, that's why it's inadmissible evidence in a court of law anyway, because we know they can be beat. But the point is, she is supposedly a clinical psychologist, so who would know better? Who would know better than how to beat a polygraph? And, you know, we didn't follow the money trail quite closely, and we should have followed that money trail, Kevin. Who paid for this? Who paid for her transportation? Who paid for this? These things that didn't make sense. Her phobia of flying, and she flies to Hawaii, and she flies here and there. Like I said, this should have never got to this level where she would have been testifying before a Senate. This is amazing that it got beyond the FBI, and the FBI said, okay, we need to bring it up, and she has to be heard. They said nothing. She has no case, so why didn't it stop right there, which has me believing the FBI is working to hurt this president of the United States. They're deep state.
And I think you're absolutely right. I mean, I think it's not only – I think it's all the three-letter agencies that are working against this man.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean – I voted for Trump because I wanted him to wreck the entire system that we had in place, you know, and he's doing that. In my eyes, he's doing that. Is there some disappointments? Sure. He's human. He's going to make mistakes. I mean, agreed. But as far as what I think he's doing and being a wrecking ball, I think he's doing that pretty good job. It's just crazy, like you said, how this has gone this far. And again, I don't think this is the end of it. Not at all. I think this is the beginning. Just the beginning of it.
I agree. Hey, thank you, Kevin, for your call. I appreciate it. Second hour coming right up. This is Off the Beaten Path.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsite.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.